2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Championship, a special hour on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back to KSL's Unrivaled. It's Matt Biamonte and Sam Farnsworth sitting in for Scott Mitchell and Alex Curry. And yes, we are breaking down and discussing Utah, the Pac-12 championship game. Right now, Oregon leads 20-0. And we're going to bring on KSL Sports TV anchor Jeremiah Jensen, who is live from Santa Clara. Jeremiah, are you there?
I am here, and I am witnessing this this complete collapse by the Utes. This is brutal.
Yeah, I wanted to ask, maybe what's kind of stuck out to you the most here so far? I mean, the first half's not quite over yet, but 20-0 with about 90 seconds to go. Overall thoughts on the first half?
Well, I'm just stunned by the Utes' lack of execution. I really do think that the pressure of this moment has gotten to them. Oregon really was the team that came into this game with nothing to lose. The pressure's all on Utah. A college football playoff spot up for grabs, the chance to win a Pac-12 championship, go to the Rose Bowl. Utah's never done any of those things before. While this Oregon staff and players haven't, this is their program has. And they came into this game, they win, they go to the Rose Bowl. If they lost, they might go to the Rose Bowl. So what did they have to lose? Oregon's got a lot of talent, and you're seeing that talent tonight. And Utah, I don't think it's a talent issue. I think Utah's not been able to execute properly. It's just been one bad thing after another. But the biggest story of this first half is Utah is getting beaten and beaten badly on the line of scrimmage, which is the most shocking thing that I've seen so far tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the biggest areas, I think, of focus going into this matchup. How's Utah's defensive line going to stack up against Oregon's offensive line? But it's also going the other way around as well. Tyler Huntley's getting banged up in the backfield. He just took a lick not too long ago. I mean, what does Utah's offense have to do to become more efficient here? Because we're not seeing conversions on third and fourth downs.
Well, they got to execute, and their offensive line is getting beat. Simi Mwala is getting killed at the right tackle position. He's killing them tonight. It wouldn't surprise me if he's on the bench when the second half starts, so that's been an issue. It looks like they're already rotating some guys in at the offensive line to try to figure something out. Utah just got to regroup here in the second half. I mean, they haven't had to. They were down 14-3 up at Washington, but they haven't had to deal with adversity like this. They've been smacked in the mouth in this first half. We'll see how they respond.
Utah's defense, Jeremiah, they got, and we're speaking with Jeremiah Jensen here of KSL Sports TV anchor. He's live in Santa Clara at the half at the Pac-12 championship game. But Utah's defense got a lot of praise, and rightfully so. They're statistically a dominant defense. Has Oregon's defense kind of surprised you at all in this first half?
Not at all, because I mean, Oregon's been a really good defense as well. They're the second best defense in the Pac-12. They've got great athletes. So I when we wrote predictions about, and we were asked for predictions on KSLSports.com about this game, I knew this game was going to be a battle. I thought it was going to be a game where nobody scored more than 24 points. I thought the defenses would come and bring their best effort. I thought the weather might have an impact on the game, and it has very slightly, not as much as I thought. But I expected this to be a very low-scoring game because both of these defenses are terrific. And to be honest with you guys, Utah's defense hasn't been poor. Right. Oregon has a couple big plays that they've been able to make in the past game that have helped them score a couple touchdowns. But right now, I mean, it could be a lot worse than this right now. It's 20-0. It could be a lot worse. That defense has had a couple nice stands in the red zone to keep this close. Defense has not been the issue for Utah. Their offense has been putrid in the first half. Awful.
Yeah, I want to ask you, because you did talk about Jeremiah, Justin Herbert. He was able to connect on a couple of long passes in this game. And then we saw Julian Blackman go down. From the reports I've seen, it sounds like he's on crutches. What have you heard anything, any updates on Julian Blackman, his status, what's going on with him?
No official word. He's out for the game, I can tell you that. Oh. And I mean, I'm not going to speculate, but we've all watched a lot of sports over the years, and when you see a non-contact injury like that where someone steps, there's some new turf there in that spot where he was at, and it just takes one little wrong step, and all of a sudden somebody's looking at months of rehab. I hope the best for Julian. I'm not going to say what it is. I don't know, but it's clearly serious. So, yeah, that's all I can say on that. It's that he's out for the game, so that's a big loss for them right there. And they're going to – I'm telling you, every single thing that could go wrong in this game has gone wrong for Utah. It's crazy. The blocked punt, third and fourth down, can't get the first down. Two targeting calls on Oregon that have been missed.
No kidding.
I mean, everything that could go wrong for Utah has gone wrong in his first half.
And the first one, Jeremiah, that was reviewed for quite a long time. So that one was especially puzzling because you figure when you spend that much time reviewing it that you're able to get it right.
Right. It was called on the field targeting. And then they go back up to the booth and, yeah, it wasn't like one of those blatant things where he comes in. But he made helmet-to-helmet contact with the crown of the helmet.
Yeah.
So, you know, by rule, it's targeting, right? So I don't know what a targeting call is anymore. But based on what I know and understand a targeting call to be, they missed two in this first half. And it's really hurt Utah in two different plays.
How would you evaluate Tyler Huntley's performance in the first half?
Worst performance of the season so far for him.
Wow.
I have no idea why he's doing some of the things he's doing. The interception he threw in the end zone. The safety was clearly on over the top, and I don't know how he missed that. He hasn't made that mistake all year. And another problem he's having is in the past, he'd feel pressure, and he'd all of a sudden he'd put his head down and he decided he's going to go to run. Well, all season long he's done a great job, and maybe the injury forced him to do this, but he's done a great job all year of staying in the pocket, keeping his head up, and looking for that receiver downfield, and that's usually when you'll find guys open. You know, the defense can only guard a guy for so long, but in this game, he's going back to his old habits. He's not playing like the Tyler Huntley we've seen this year that was a Heisman Trophy candidate. He's playing like the Tyler Huntley we saw when he was a sophomore and a junior.
Obviously, you'd hope that Utah comes out with adjustments made, that they're able to get things turned around, that this game becomes a closer, much more competitive game here in the second half. I, for one, am one that believes Utah's offense is the kind of offense that once they get clicking and moving, they snowball and they get that they're an offense of momentum. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel like that can happen in the second half for Utah's offense?
As negative as I have been in this interview so far, I'm going to spin a positive here for Utah fans. If anyone's listening, it's only 20-0.
Right.
It's only 20-0.
Yeah.
And Utah did come back on the road in Seattle and beat Washington. Not only beat Washington, but, I mean, pretty much dominated the second half up in Seattle against a good Washington team. Not a great Washington team, but they're good. And so this game's not over. It's 20-0. They need three touchdowns to win if their defense can hold them. This defense has shown that they can do that. Now, how tired is this defense so far right now? I don't know. It may be a lot to ask this defense to do that, but going into the second half, Utah needs three touchdowns to win this game if their defense can hold them, maybe four if Oregon gets another score. That's possible. So this isn't over, but, man, they have a lot of things they got to clean up here in the second half.
I think whether you root for Utah or not, you want this game to be interesting. Yeah. I mean, we're to the end of the season. You want to see competitive football games, so hopefully Utah can figure it out and make it interesting here in the second half.
Yep. Hey, Jeremiah, fun out there, man.
Yeah. I will be fine. Utah fans and Utah players and coaches, we'll see after the second half. But it's not what anyone expected. Quite a shocking score at the end of the first half.
Well, Jeremiah, thank you for coming on and sharing your thoughts with us. I appreciate it.
You got it, guys. Thanks.
All right, that was KSL Sports TV anchor Jeremiah Jensen, and the story he told about Julian Blackman. I know, no speculation, but.
Right.
Anytime you hear the word non-contact, Sam, it just – there's no way – I don't want to speculate either,
right,
but non-contact most of the time leads to something bad, and I would hate for that to be the case for a senior getting ready to go to the NFL.
And not only that, but a situation where it's because of bad turf. That is just so unfortunate.
Totally.
It wasn't good enough to be played on, and it resulted in an injury.
Oh, all right. We got to take a break here on KSL's Unrivaled. We got news, traffic, and weather coming up. And then on the other side, we're going to talk a little bit about the Utah Jazz. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back in a moment.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.